This is Carol Foster of 2 Timothy 2:15 Resources, and I am so excited that you're going to join me today as we study God's Word. The response new Messianic believers give when asked why they initially visited a Messianic congregation is, "We knew there had to be more." As we study together, we will begin to see that yes, indeed, there has to be more. For additional study aids to assist you in studying along with us, go to our website, sectim.org. Welcome back. Wanda and I have been having such a great discussion off the recording that I wanted us to continue that discussion. Welcome again, Wanda.
Oh, thank you. I'm so glad to be here.
We were looking at the fact that God told Moshe exactly who he was and what he was capable of. Again, we were talking about the objections. The very first objection that Moshe had was, well, who am I that you're going to send me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that there's this kind of an inferiority thing that pops up. And we were talking about the fact that God answered him the first time, who am I? He says, certainly I will be with you. He was not going to go alone. Then Jehovah followed by saying what his personal name was. He'd never given his personal name. This is first usage.
Mm-hmm.
And as we learn in yeshiva, in our school, that the rule of first usage sets the tone and the way that would be translated throughout the rest of the word. So we can always go back to that as kind of our starting point.
Yes.
And Jehovah revealed himself by using his name in the original language. We read, Ayah Asher Ayah, I am, I will be what I am, or I will be. And we looked at this and really translated it. It says, I will be everything you need me to be when you need me to be it. Isn't that an amazing statement?
It's an amazing statement. It really speaks to me a lot.
We were talking again off recording, and we were thinking, how, if we really knew and understood that as when we were growing up, or even as when we were very immature Christians, believers, how that would change our lives.
Well, it changed my life a lot, especially as a young girl. My father had his own troubles. He was in World War II, so he had that post-traumatic stress, and so he was very fearful of everybody, didn't trust anyone. And because of that, he was very controlling of our family, of my mother, and he actually abandoned us. He would take off for I don't know how many days, and sometimes we'd have to go hide from him. And there were things that went on. So I developed a fear and of trust and wanting not to be abandoned. So when my husband and I got married, I asked him, will you promise me that you will never leave me? And he goes, well, I can't do that. I said, what do you mean you can't do that? And he says, well, get me right here. I'm committed to our marriage. But wonder if I die? The light bulb came on with me, and I'm going like, oh, what a good point. And it freed me. I'm going like, oh, yeah. And then the Lord just showed me through that statement that he's the one that's with me always. He will never, ever leave me.
Certainly, I will be with you.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that I will be whatever you need me to be when you need me to be it.
Yes.
Even in the hard times.
Even in the hard times.
Mm-hmm. You know, you made a really good point. Because of our previous experiences, our life experiences, we look through life through different lenses.
Definitely. They're colored different is what I'll... Different lenses. Yes, that's right.
We see the world differently. Mm-hmm. You mentioned abandonment.
Mm-hmm.
And it impacted your relationship all the way to adulthood.
Yes, definitely. And through up until I was in my mid-30s, actually. So until I really saw that it was the Lord that's going to be there for me. And the Lord used my husband to see that, which was amazing.
So many, and we were talking about women especially, because we are women, but how women relate to God as an example of how they related to their fathers.
Right.
And
yes.
Because you were abandoned, you know, that light bulb you said came on, that God would never leave you.
Yes. Yeah. Because when I was younger, I even thought that because of where I went to church, I was taught that, you know, you do this, you do this, you do this. If you don't, then God's going to really get you. So I didn't even feel that there was a love of a father mm-hmm. from God at that point when I was young.
So that really impacts how we view.
Yes, and how I behave and how I just walk my life.
And it takes away that shalom, doesn't it? That we're supposed
to exactly.
have with God.
Exactly. I lived in fear, actually. I lived in fear.
Well, and all of us have a story.
Mm-hmm. Certainly.
And mine was, you know, dysfunctional family. And I'm sure probably 80% of our audience has some of that. You know, none of us escape that. And because my father was military as well, he was distant.
Hmm.
So he went between being home and being involved with us. And then he was a pilot, so they did their thing. And then he came home and, again, kind of distant. And because of... my mother died when I was 11. So because of my stepmother, he allowed himself to distance himself from the family. So there was no protection from this woman. So for some reason, then I thought that, you know, God didn't really care because mm-hmm. my father didn't really care.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my dad didn't protect me, so God kind of doesn't protect me. He kind of watches what's happening, but he's not really involved.
I felt the same way. Exactly.
And it really colors our view of God
mm-hmm.
and our relationship with him.
And then it spills over into our relationships with everyone else around us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. When it finally dawned on me that God wasn't like my dad,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that doesn't come instantly. Like you said, it's you have to kind of work that out.
Yes.
And a marriage, a long-time marriage, then a divorce, and my husband, my poor husband is so patient with me. We were at the wedding rehearsal and getting ready to, you know, do our thing. And I turned to him and I said, I love you with all my heart, but God will always be my first love.
Hmm.
And you know, we have to live with that.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember him saying, well, Carol, we're living with it together.
Hmm.
But it was like I had to tell him that it didn't matter what happened. I know God was there.
Hmm. Yes.
So it does. It colors our lives and how we relate to God. You shared with me also the impact of the book, The Shack, had on you.
Oh, yes. The first time I read that years ago, I was ready to throw it across the room because I thought, how dare God be a woman? You know? And then when I saw the movie, and after learning that God said, I am and I will be everything you need me to be when you need me to be it, in that movie, or in the book, the man could not relate because of things that happened to him in his life. He could not relate to a man, a father figure, because of how he was violated by a man or his father. I can't remember in that part, but he was violated by a man. That is why God appeared as a woman at first in the movie, because he needed that nurturing from a mother figure. And so the Lord was what he needed at that time. And then later on, he was able to have God appear as a man.
Isn't that amazing?
Mm-hmm.
The gentleness.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
One of the things I noted, and I didn't notice it in the book, but that they did imply in the movie, is that after his father had been especially cruel to him,
mm-hmm.
and he left. He was walking away to get away. That a woman appeared to bring him on the porch, put her arms around him, and say to him, "You're loved."
Mm.
And that was the same woman that was portrayed as God in the shack.
Yeah.
So he never really was abandoned.
He wasn't. God is with us always. But that actually gave me goosebumps.
Oh yeah. But it's he is what we need him to be whenever we need him to be it.
Yes.
And certainly I will be with you. We were talking, you talked about some of the plaques and sayings and pictures that you have when you first get up in the morning.
Yeah.
And that's one I think I'm going to incorporate when I get up in the morning.
Me
is
too.
It, Lord, today you will be everything I need you to be when I need you to be it. And you will provide whatever it is I need. Because certainly you will be with me. But we saw here that apparently that didn't quite convince Moshe. You know, I guess a man may relate a little bit different.
No, I would imagine so.
But he went on then to say, well, okay, so now that you've identified yourself as being the God of our fathers, and you've told me that you are Ayah, Asher Ayah, and you even said, tell the people that I am sent you, I have another objection. I'm slow of speech and slow of tongue. And we talked about how it was probably not a stuttering issue.
Right.
It was probably a lack of being proficient.
In the language, yes.
In the language. You know, and then it just amazes me because I see myself in Moshe.
Hmm.
God answers my objection, but I'm going to come up with another one.
I've done that myself.
You know, if we would write him down afterwards, we'd say, oh, I can't believe that.
Yep. I can't believe I even said that or thought that.
I've even been at, tell myself, I've even been at the gas station putting gas in the car, and the Lord has said, you need to speak a word of encouragement to the person in front of you.
Oh.
And I'll say, is that me or is that you, God?
Mm-hmm.
Do you really want me to do that? He's going to think I'm an idiot. You know, I go through this, all this bantering back and forth.
I've done the same, exact same thing.
Oh, I don't feel so bad.
No, don't feel so bad. No, I've done the exact same thing. And I'm going like, but they need the word, God will say. So I'm getting braver and I'm doing it. And then I find out later, they'll go like, oh, I needed to hear that. You know.
It's just that getting over ourselves.
That's it. Ourselves.
We do that battle all the time. And Moshe was having that same issue. You know, getting over himself. You know, as we're talking about this, it just amazes me that I see myself again in Moshe. You know, we read this and we think, oh, how could you do that? But it's getting to be so funny because every time he brings up an objection, I'll say, well, I've done that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've done that. And then his last thing is, well, you know, you can send whoever you want to.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, he's saying, you can send everybody you want to, but just don't send me.
Yes.
You know, let someone come along and do that, but not me. And this is where we see that it finally tested the Lord's patience. Now, we say that he is a sed. He has loving kindness and he's patient forever. But we see that he finally says in Exodus 4:15, then the anger of the Lord burned against Moses. And he said, is there not your brother Aaron, the Levite? I know he speaks fluently. That's another clue, isn't it?
Hmm.
Maybe it's not that, again, it wasn't the speech impediment, but Aaron spoke fluent Egyptian.
That's right.
It's those little words, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, Moses was gone for so long that he wasn't fluent any longer, but Aaron was. And he also had the trust of his people and of the Pharaoh.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, the inductive method of study, I think, really helps us because we ask those who, what, where, why, when, and how type of questions mm-hmm. of the text. And it's only after we get the literal meaning.
Yes.
And we've all read it, but we don't necessarily ask the questions.
That's true.
It becomes more of a story mm-hmm. than a study.
And like, oh, I can check that off. I read that today. Instead of like, what is the real meaning? What is the deeper meaning? What is the application to us?
Absolutely. You know, all of us have had a reading plan.
Mm-hmm.
Have you had a read the Bible?
The portions,
year?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I even did it for several years and used a different translation each year.
Oh, interesting.
It's a challenge if you do the Amplified mm-hmm. in a year.
That takes longer.
Oh, my gosh. But I did it. But once I learned this inductive method, I thought, you know, I've read it, but I don't know what I've read.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the stories, but I really don't understand who it was written to, why it was written, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where it was written from.
Yeah.
What was the purpose? I never really answered those questions.
Yeah, and you can have about 10 questions with each of those.
Yeah,
or more, you know.
Because the question brings mm-hmm. up the next level.
That's
which
right.
is the Peshat. Mm-hmm. It's the hint.
Mm-hmm.
There has to be more. So what is that? Just like we found about the language.
That's right. Yeah.
And then that leads us to the next level is finding out why. Why did he use those words? Which we did when we went to Acts, didn't we?
Yes.
And then we came back here and it says, well, he speaks fluently. Well, that is really application.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that gives us credibility to the, probably it was a different language and it wasn't the fact that it was an impediment of any kind.
No, because he was a great speaker, and he was brought up in the, had all the education of Egypt. He had the knowledge.
Well, and if he had command,
mm-hmm.
it would be very difficult to have command if you weren't speaking fluently.
Right.
You know, and then comes the application after we've taken each one of those steps, so we can go from the very beginning, the Peshat, to the Remez, to the Dresh. To the Sod, which is the application.
Mm-hmm.
Then that's when we really learn.
It is.
And as teachers, we both know that learning hasn't taken place unless a mindset or behavior has changed.
Correct.
And because we're reading the Book of Instructions,
mm-hmm.
everything we read should be applicable today.
That's right.
Well, I'm real excited. You know, and there's also some food for thought. You know, when we went back and I was thinking, why would Pharaoh really not let his people go?
Well, he was getting a lot of free labor.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And Moshe's instructions, we see that he used that term, God used that term, go, with Moshe.
Mm-hmm.
Go. He was to go to Egypt. He was to go to Iran. All these different phrases, he used it three times in just two or three verses that Moshe was to go. He was to go to gather the elders. Mm-hmm. Now, that's something else I hadn't ever really realized.
Yeah, I didn't realize the elders that he gathered together to tell what God wanted to do.
And that God actually gave him some examples. He was to put his hand into his breast, and mm-hmm. when he pulled it out, it was leprosy.
Mm-hmm.
And then he put it back again, and pulled it out, and it was clean.
Mm-hmm.
And he was to show the elders the miracle of the staff,
mm-hmm.
the miracle of the blood, from water to blood, and the miracle of leprosy. I had never realized that before.
Me either.
So when he was going into the gathering, he had a group of people that actually stood behind him, supported him.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of thought he and Iran went in there all by their lonesome.
I did too. So the elders did go in to see the Pharaoh also.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Moshe had a support system
mm-hmm.
already embedded in the nation of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
to begin this. Yeah, I just kind of thought that it was him all by his lonesome that went in.
So he wasn't by himself. God did not abandon him, and he put people around him that could support.
That's important.
Yes.
He does that same thing to us, doesn't he?
He does.
He never puts us in a situation all by ourselves.
No, he doesn't. You know, and if it seems like he does, we have a different, it's a little different for us today because we have the Holy Spirit inside us. So we are never alone.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. And he's our biggest support system.
Mm-hmm. And then we can call his angels. We can call them to be with us, around us, to protect us, to minister to us. We have those available to us. That's, because of him.
Isn't that huge?
Yes.
That we can, you know, and I think our talks have been amazing because we can actually go into that holy place with him at any time.
Yes, we can.
We can remove ourselves from the world, shake the world off our feet, walk into his holy place, communicate with him.
Mm-hmm.
He communicates with us. His Holy Spirit then strengthens us and gives us guidance.
So wonderful.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
And it all goes back again to who he says he is. Do we really believe then?
Who he says he is.
Who he
that's
says
right.
he is. That's the big point.
That's the
it?
Key. That's the key. And it's been a process for me.
I think it's a process
for everyone. It is. But it is a process.
And praise God that I'll be farther along in the process tomorrow than I am today. Doesn't that just send goosebumps up and down?
I get so excited about that because it is. It's a new day. His word says every morning's new.
And he'll never leave us. He'll certainly be with us every day.
Mm-hmm.
When God tells us, sends us, we need to then realize who is going with us.
We do.
And who has gone before us.
That's right. I mean, it, like you're saying, go. I mean, this is exactly what the Lord did with me at Cheviot. Because after I had shared in an earlier program how I was doing objections with God with a gift that he wanted to give me on Cheviot, which was to be able to have, that he was going to give me words of encouragement for others and prophecy and healing. And then when I stood up at that point, and I think I was in a little shock. I was listening to music and I was just standing there. And then all of a sudden, another friend came up and she started to walk by me, and she said the Lord pulled her back. She came right back and stood right back by me. And she goes, "Wanda, you have words to say. Go and do it."
Affirmation.
Yes, that was affirmation. That was the Lord telling her. And I said, "Oh, okay." So I turned around and I said, "Okay, who do you want me to go talk to?" And then he'd tell me someone to go talk to. And I said, "Okay, what do you want me to say to them?" "I'll tell you when you get there. I'm going to put the words in you."
Oh, just as goosebumps.
Yeah, yeah. And he did that to about 8 people that day. I just kept asking, "Who do you want me to go to next?" And he was building my faith in me, which was going to happen with Moshe. I mean, it's exciting because he said he would put the words in his mouth.
Absolutely.
And put, you know, and teach him what to say.
As we go into the miracles that he did, that will be performed, Moshe kept getting stronger and stronger. The other thing that I thought was so fascinating, and we'll talk about, is that he was in command.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much for joining me today.
Oh, pleasure.
And we will talk to you next time. Thank you for joining us today as we delved into the beautiful truths of God's Word to indeed discover that there has to be more. I pray that the Word applied to your daily life will bring a deeper understanding of His love letter written just to you. Let me remind you that we have additional study aids to assist you with our studies together on our website. It's sectim.org. May this day fill you with the love of God, joy, and shalom. Nothing missing, nothing broken in your life.